Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Visit drjoelwade.com, scroll down, and click the Audible banner to get 2 free audiobooks and start your free Audible trial today.
You are now listening to the Mastering Happiness Podcast with Dr. Joel Wade.
Today I want to ask this question. What are you grateful for? Who are the people who have been good to you? And what are the opportunities and the gifts that you've been given over the course of your life? This is Joel Wade, and welcome to today's podcast. Now, you may have had a very hard life, and you might be thinking, well, grateful for what? I'd like you to rethink that, not for my sake or anyone else's sake, but for your own. Gratitude can sometimes be seen as a duty, something that we do to please somebody else. Like when we're told to say thank you as a kid, whether we feel it or not. But feeling grateful is one of the great joys in life. It connects us to the good things we've been blessed with, strengthens us, brings us closer to a more positive and supportive feeling, and it also can bring us closer to the good people in our life. There are probably people in your life who've been good to you, who you may have forgotten over the years. It's worth thinking about them, searching for them in your memories, looking for who has affected your life for the better. Maybe even just a little bit. When you think of the past, do you tend to think about more negative things or more positive things? We have the choice. It's just as easy to do either one with a little practice. When we look back, if we look only at what we regret, at what we feel bad about, at our anger and hurt, and at those who've hurt us, we're bringing those feelings and experiences from back then into the present. So, not only did we get to feel bad about them back then, we get the added bonus of feeling bad about them now. Emotions aren't static things of a fixed quantity. They grow and multiply as we focus on them. Dwell on what's going bad, what you're angry or disappointed with, and you'll get more of these feelings, not less. Focus on what's going well, what you're grateful for, and you'll have more of these feelings. Practicing gratitude, being actively grateful for what we have in life, whatever our circumstances may be, is one of the most important things we can do for our own sense of happiness and well-being. Here are just some of what Robert Emmons, author of The Psychology of Gratitude and researcher on the effects of gratitude and well-being at the Emmons Center at UC Davis, has found. Gratitude strengthens our willpower, improves relationships, boosts creativity, enhances athletic and academic performance, and deepens our sense of spirituality. As Brother David Stendel Rast says, gratitude is the heart of prayer. People who keep a gratitude journal, keeping a written account of the things we're grateful for, something I highly recommend, were more effective in reaching their goals, exercised more, ate 25% less fat, had fewer physical symptoms, felt better about their lives, and were more optimistic about the near future. The level of stress they experienced and corresponding cortisol levels in their systems decreased, as did their depression. Kids who practice gratitude have more positive attitudes towards school and their families. Young adults have higher states of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, attentiveness, and energy. We're more likely to help other people when we practice gratitude, and we tend to take better charge of our emotional lives. Gratitude is one of those purely positive qualities. There's no downside to becoming more grateful or to expressing more gratitude. I want to address one of the barriers toward feeling grateful in life and offer a perspective that I hope will be helpful. Every so often, I hear a comment that goes something like this. The world is such a crazy place, or life is overrated, or mankind is so terrible. Each time I hear something like that, I wonder, to what else exactly are you comparing the world, or life, or mankind? Invariably, the comparison is to an ideal world, life, or vision of how mankind ought to be. In other words, to something that doesn't actually exist. This sort of comparison is a recipe for depression, helplessness, and hopelessness. Idealism certainly has its place. It's the source of dreams, visions, and possibilities not yet considered. It's the stretch beyond what we know. Our ideals provide a direction toward which to aim. Without ideals, we're stuck in the purely familiar and comfortable. Without ideals, none of the miraculous progress of humanity would be possible. But dreams, to be worth anything, have to hold the possibility of being made into reality, or at least to influence reality in a positive way. Paradoxically, by acknowledging what's good now, it helps us to clarify what needs to be done about what's not so good. If we only see the bad, the problems become too big, too overwhelming, and there's no place to stand to effectively change things for the better. Acknowledging what's good and strong gives us that place to stand and helps us to see the effective action that can be taken. While idealism is important for setting a course, it's no guide to actually implementing that course, and it's antithetical to a sense of gratitude. Once we set our sights upon an ideal, if we take that ideal alone as the standard of comparison, then we doom ourselves to an attitude of criticism and disappointment. Our comparison should be balanced between what we want to make happen and what's been historically true. Years ago, a friend of mine was talking with me about his marriage. He and his wife were having a great deal of trouble, and he said to me, "Well, no relationship is perfect, is it?" But perfection isn't the standard. When we compare what we have to some standard of perfection, it undermines our ability to enjoy the wonderful life that we have. There'll always be something missing, something that might be better, somehow, that we aren't doing or couldn't do. This is an attitude that dooms too many marriages, as indeed happened, unfortunately, with the marriage of my friend, as both he and his wife had an idea of how the other should be that neither of them could live up to. Critically comparing what we have for real, right here in our lives, with some imagined situation kills gratefulness, kills joy, and kills the possibility for making any actual concrete improvements in our lives. Even if we were to achieve that standard of perfection, the best we'd be doing is reaching the neutral level of no mistakes. That's not a very inspiring goal. We tend to adapt to the good things in life, which researchers call the hedonic treadmill. We get used to what we have, take it for granted, and begin to look to what we don't have. The counting our blessings exercise I described in an earlier podcast, at the end of each day thinking of three good things that happened that day, helps to moderate this tendency. It keeps things in perspective. Every once in a while, it's important to step back and look at our blessings with fresh eyes, so we can take in the wonder and magnificence that exists right here, right now. Let's look at how we think of our experience a little closer and see how purposefully directing our attention toward what we're grateful for can make a huge practical difference in our lives. Now, it's pretty likely that you have pictures somewhere in your home. Are they pictures of the miserable times, the disappointments, the conflicts, the traumas? Did you set things up so you're constantly reminded of the events and people who hurt you most whenever you walk down the hallway? Of course not. We've all had hard times, of course. Some of them we may even have pictures of. But when we put pictures on the wall of our home, we choose the ones of the people we love, the peak moments. We want to be reminded of how adorable our kids were at that age, or the great trip we took that summer, or a favorite quality of somebody we love. We do this because it affects the entire atmosphere of our home. It's part of what makes our house feel like a home. We may have boxes of pictures stored away that cover a wider range of experience, but what we want to see every day are the images that warm us, comfort us, inspire us. By the same token, we have images we reflect on in our mind's eye, memories of times past, of people and events. We don't regularly reflect on that many images, probably about as many as the pictures we have hanging on our wall. And just as the pictures on our wall create a mood in our home, the pictures we reflect on in our minds create an atmosphere within ourselves. What many of us don't realize is that we have the same ability to choose those internal images as we do to choose the pictures on the wall. What images do you think of often? Do they warm you, comfort you, inspire you? Or do they remind you of regrets, disappointments, or painful events? We can choose our internal mental images, but it's of course not as simple as replacing pictures on the wall. We can tell ourselves to stop thinking of a certain memory, or we can distract ourselves from thinking about it. And that can have some effect, but there's a better way that's a little less direct that I want to show you. When we actively search around in our past for painful events, it's sometimes called going on an archaeological dig. What I'd like to suggest instead is that you go on a treasure hunt. Search around your past for the people, events, and opportunities about which you feel grateful. It doesn't matter whether they're big influences or small. There are people, events, and opportunities in our past that have become buried over time, lost to the sediment of time and neglect. We've been told for so long by so many people that we have to remember what hurt us, from certain schools of psychotherapy, through movies, TV, books. The draw to think of the negative can be so strong that many of us have forgotten to remember what strengthened us. The people, events, and opportunities that we're grateful for are sources of strength and resilience within us, just waiting to be rediscovered. When I first purposefully did this many years ago, somebody occurred to me who I hadn't thought of since my early teens. Mr. James was a math teacher at my junior high school. But he wasn't my math teacher. He taught a more advanced class than I was in, and I didn't know him at all. But one day, he came over to me at recess and told me that he thought I should be in his class, that I really belonged there, and he asked me to think about transferring to his class. I told him I'd think about it. The next day, he came up to me again and asked me what I thought. I said, okay. And there I was the next day in Mr. James's advanced math class. I don't remember how well I did, and I never became a mathematician. This isn't some dramatic story of how I came to find my true calling. But I did have an experience of a man who believed in me who didn't have to, and who gently, respectfully, but directly challenged me to do better. When I think of that time and his confidence, I feel a little stronger, a little warmer, a little more settled in myself. Now, I hadn't thought of Mr. James in a very long time, but since the day I remembered what he did for me decades later, that memory has been one that comes to my mind every so often. It's one of the pictures in my internal gallery. And because that one is there, some other one that maybe wasn't so great has been tucked away in the box with the other seldom viewed images. The important thing here is to recognize that you have a profound choice. Practice making it a good one. If you find yourself ruminating about unfortunate experiences in your past, things that, by definition, because they're in the past, you can do nothing about, remind yourself that doing this only weakens and hurts you. Instead, replace that negative thought with a beautiful one, a person who loved you or supported you, your son or daughter's graduation, the birth of a grandchild, someone who thanked you once for making a difference in their lives. When we actively search for the good people, the positive events, and the expansive opportunities that we've been blessed with, these images begin to take up space on the inner wall of our minds. And then, when we most need to be reminded of the solid ground we have to stand on, we'll find it right there. The truth is, everything that we experience in life is a rare and singular event. Every breath we take is a miracle. Every moment of love, of awe, of discovery, and of joy is a blessing of such magnitude that it's nearly impossible to appreciate. I want to challenge you to look at your life with fresh eyes, to catch a glimpse of the astonishing fact of your existence itself, the existence of those whom you love, and the grand creations of civilization, science, and industry that continue to improve our lives on Earth. If you start with that, it's much easier to find an abundance of gratitude. And that abundance is fertile ground for a happier, more successful life. A master's course in happiness is a monthly, in-depth program to help you actively, purposefully, and effectively live a happier, more fulfilling life. This course is designed to teach you the skills and principles that you need to bring the best you have to offer, inside and out. Over the course of 12 months, we'll explore what I've found are many of the fundamentals of living well. Through audio, video, and written material, you're supported to learn and practice specific actions each month that will strengthen you, inspire you, and enable you to lean into life more fully. These are skills and principles for self-mastery across all of the circumstances and personalities I have ever worked with for nearly four decades, based on solid research and experience. And right now, exclusively for my listeners, you can experience the Master's Course in Happiness at a great discount. Use promo code MH, the number one, promo, in all capitals, to get this $467 course for only $295 today. Visit www.drjoelwade.com. That's DRJOELWADE.com. Now, and use promo code MH1PROMO to receive this amazing course for only $295. A master's course in happiness is designed to give you the most powerful skills that I can offer in a course. It will give you the tools and knowledge to apply yourself fully to the mission of mastering yourself. That's www.drjoelwade.com, promo code MH1PROMO, all in capitals.